starting a private practice isn't what it used to be. Today's clinicians are starting private practices much quicker, easier, and cheaper than before. And they aren't guessing their way through it or getting stuck in analysis paralysis. They're following a tried and true roadmap in order to save time, money, and frustration. There is no reason to reinvent the wheel or struggle to figure out how to start a private practice on your own. We've helped thousands of SLPs and OTs through this process, and now we want to help you too. For a limited time, I'm offering a free copy of our private practice roadmap, specifically for SLPs and OTs who are curious about private practice and want to see what the journey looks like. To download your free copy, please visit startyourprivatepractice.com/roadmap to sign up. Now, on to the episode.
Vanessa Alcala is a bilingual speech-language pathologist with a private practice called Theravolve Wellness in Tampa, Florida. She decided to start her private practice after feeling the effects of burnout and having the desire to be her own boss. Now, I got to know Vanessa during her time in both the Start and Grow Your Private Practice programs, and it has been so amazing to watch her grow into a very successful private practitioner. In this, her second episode on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast, she talks about her non-traditional journey to the field of speech-language pathology. She also discusses how having her own private practice has helped her avoid burnout and how she has the freedom and flexibility to work with a variety of clients, ranging from bilingual children to older adults. She also talks about the importance of branding your business and adding additional streams of revenue. If you're feeling burned out and are wondering if private practice is the answer, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, CEO of The Independent Clinician and founder of Private Practice School. First, I started my own private practice. And then over the past 15 years, I've worked with over 10,000 SLPs and OTs to start and grow their successful private practices so they can have more freedom, flexibility, fulfillment, and finances. I created the Private Practice Success Stories podcast to share what's possible for you, your family, your clients, and your community when you choose private practice. We'll share everything from small private practice side hustles to flexible lifestyle private practices to traditional brick and mortar practices and everything in between. You'll meet regular clinicians just like you who followed our steps and are now living their private practice dreams. If they can do it, you can do it too. So let's get started. Hey, Vanessa, how's it going?
Oh, fantastic. I am so excited to do the show with you tonight. For those of you who don't know Vanessa, I'm going to let you introduce yourself, but I'm so excited because I've gotten to know you in both the Start and Grow programs, and we got to hang out in real life at ASHRA here in Boston.
I know, so fun. Well, hi, everyone. My name is Vanessa. I am a bilingual speech language pathologist. I have a private practice in Tampa, Florida called Theravolve Wellness Co. I am just a first-generation college graduate out here doing the darn thing.
I love that so much. Now, some people who are on tonight may have heard you on the podcast. Other people may not have. But can you share a little bit about your journey to private practice? Because it was a little bit of an atypical journey.
I mean, I guess I was a very non-traditional student from the start. I wasn't your typical. I mean, I loved school, but more for the socializing piece of it and not so much for the straight-A piece of it. But yeah, I mean, I pretty much have been working since I was 16 years old. I'm sure many of you guys have. And high school was just kind of something that I wanted to like graduate early or get out. And honestly, at some point, I've also contemplated dropping out of high school just because it just wasn't really the vibe for me. Long story short, you can listen to the podcast as well. I had a guidance counselor that was like, you don't have the greatest college. You're basically not good enough. You can't do it. And that was probably projecting on her part, but also like I was working full time every day after school, 4 to 10. So I understand I didn't have your typical availability to like volunteer to talk with my high school teachers often to get those letters of recommendation, nonetheless have time to study and all of that. So fast forward to, I met one of my closest friends now. She was actually an SLP. She introduced me to the field of speech therapy. And I was like, okay, that sounds amazing. So I went and got my associate's degree for 2 years. I took a gap year, bought a house, got married. That's when I met my friend. And she told me all about the world of speech language pathology. And I was like, okay, I can do this. And even then it was really intimidating, the whole process. I went to USF nearby. Admissions process and everything was just kind of crazy. And once again, you're like, I've heard my guidance counselor saying like, this is not for you. And I was like, I just have to break it into like digestible pieces for me. I'm not going to worry about the master's program. I'm going to worry on the bachelor's program. And that is pretty much what I did. And then I was able to get into the master's program. And the day I graduated, I bought my LLC. And then I went into long-term care for about 4 years, give or take. And then a combination of just my grandmother passing and dealing with a high-risk pregnancy in a COVID unit and all of just the things that came with that, very quickly, I realized that, unfortunately, despite having wonderful directors, rehabs, and everything, I was just a machine to make money, I felt. And I was like, okay, this really isn't the vibe for me. And I was like, you know what? I've had the LLC for 4 years now. It's time to really implement it. And Jenna popped up everywhere on social media. And I just kind of never looked back after that.
Well, I love that, right? I love that you had that fire in you to do something, right? You got that LLC. You're like, I know that I want to have a business. I know that I want to be in charge of my life. I know that I want to do something, right? And then, you know, certain things happened, which unfortunately were not good things, but they led you in the direction of saying, I need to take back control of my life. And I remember when you first started your practice, like you wanted to go all in with adults. Am I remembering correctly?
Yeah.
So what happened there?
So I have a lot of experience with early intervention, especially in bilingual families. I would go to Learn Tampa Bay, which is a nonprofit nearby here in Flint City. And we would have migrant families and we do literacy bridge activities. I did also Bay Area Early Steps for USF with Natalie Nicholson. She's amazing. So I had so much heavy peds experience in grad school, even though I was yearning for adult experience. And I did get some of that. I did dementia research and Joy Gezion with the USF Center for Swallowing and Falling Disorders is amazing. And so I got that little bit of experience. And when I graduated off, like, I have student loan debt. I've been working since I was 16. I'm done with the minimum wage vibes. I need a sustainable income. And unfortunately, all I heard and all that I found were like the school systems that it just wasn't sustainable income for me, for someone that like was holding out for so long and just making minimum wage and going through school and everything. So I went into long-term care and I made decent money. Initially, I felt like I was just, okay, working weekends. That's nothing new to me. I've done that already. And so I love my adults. That's always been one of my greatest passions. And so, yeah, when I opened up my practice, it was very firm on a neuro-adult focused private practice. And trust me, like I live in an area in Carrollwood where we have a lot of elders, but we also have a ton of families and we also have a lot of Spanish-speaking families. And so very quickly, I learned that I was getting an influx of calls and I was directing them to my friends who own private practices, even people who were near me. And I was like, no, I'm going to be very particular about what I want. And I was talking to an old coach of mine at the time. And I was like, I don't know what people are going to think. Like, I kind of want to say yes now. And I don't know what it's going to think. I've put it out into the universe that I'm so adult focused and this, that, and the other. Like, what are people going to think? They don't know the back history, the experience that I've had. Just even at USF in the grad program, we went to Brazil. We did like cochlear implant oral rehabilitation with like children from the Amazon. So I just kind of like, there's a whole other piece of me that I haven't really been able to share or chose to share. And they were like, this is a pivot. This is not just deciding something different. And I think it took me a while to realize we are creating everything. Like when you have your own business, like the world is your oyster and no one's telling you like what is right and what is wrong. You can do what you want, when you want, however you want, how big, how small you want, how flexible, how demanding. It's all on you. And so once I made that mindset shift from like, this is what I thought it was going to be and we're going this way, but I really want to be over here. And I was like, no, I need to just do within my heart. And so I was able to rent out an additional room space within my office. And my dad, in exchange for espresso, he came through with his construction skills and between IKEA garage sales and everything, and we were able to create like a whole pediatric room. And I mean, now it's like business is booming and I'm able to see like across the lifespan, like from 2.5 years of age all the way to 90 years old. And honestly, I think it's like a secret discovery that like, okay, I'm not burnt out. Like I cannot get burnt out now because I'm able to see both populations. I'm not just being a mom to a bilingual kiddo. It's like helpful too. So I think it was a mindset shift for sure, but I was giving business to everybody else and I was turning it down simply because of fear of what people would think, because this is what I said I was going to do and this is what I put it out into the universe, and now we're pivoting and shifting, and I was very resistant to the pivoting piece of it. But I'm so glad that I did, because it's just made a world of difference.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes you have to do that. You have to listen to the market, right? You have to kind of respond to that. And it doesn't mean that you can't ever do what it was that you set out to do. It just might mean that you have to become a little bit more established and like kind of open up to anybody in the beginning And then as you start to make a name for yourself, then you can decide, and let's say maybe you've already done this, but like if you really want to get back to adults, right? You can hire other clinicians to see the pediatric clients for you while you build up the adult caseload, right?
And so yeah.
Sometimes the beginning of your business, you have to make some, well, you make lots of sacrifices here and there, but sometimes you do have to just open yourself up to say, you know what, this is a little bit different than I expected. Mm-hmm. I can still have my goals and my dreams and what I want to do at some point, but I might need to make some pivots, make some shifts now in order to get there. Would you say that's kind of how it's gone for you?
Definitely. Yeah. And it's funny because now I would never give up some of my kiddos. So it's so funny how things, you know what I mean? Like, but I agree. I think even for me, like just growing up, I always had like that maternal disposition where I didn't feel like I was maternal enough and this, that, and the other. And I think that heavily contributed to my like thought process of like, no, okay, we're done. Yes, everybody would give me great feedback in grad school. You're so great with the parents, coaching that and talking through with them. Like, that was amazing. I'm like, really? Oh, okay. Like, so it just kind of took me time to come around to the idea. But yeah, you definitely have to make sacrifices or just like thinking outside of your comfort zone. Thinking outside and making more smarter business decisions, because sure, I could only see adults. And even with my adult clientele right now, that's equivalent to what I make in the SNF. Okay. But that's not why I did all this. I mean, sure, that's great, but I have a long-term goal for the business as well. So being able to just double your income in many ways and work less and make more and being able to see a variety of clients, especially for me, because dementia is one of my greatest loves. That's a lot all day. So seeing just strictly, and that was another thing in the long-term care facilities that it's heavy. Some days I go home and I was like, very heavy. To being able to have like the lighthearted innocence of little kiddos that like, I like to say keep you young, but sometimes I feel extremely old when I go home after all the little ones because I'm like exhausted. But then you have like the wisdom of the older adults. You can't buy that. Like it's priceless. So I really feel like I have the best of all worlds and I wouldn't give up either. Like I think even in the future when I am ready to hire, which will probably be this summer, I still want my feet in the water just because I crave that interaction. I love like the business piece of things and the organization and the marketing, as we all know, but I don't think I'll ever completely step out of that patient care.
Yeah. And one of the things like people who are listening to this, think about when you've been in schools, when you've been in hospitals, and you've tried to make change, right? And it hasn't happened. And remember how frustrating that is, right?
Yeah.
And you're really like, you know, they're going in a direction that you're like, this is not the right direction. Or like you suggest something that could be fantastic for the clients or the patients. And they're like, yeah, no, that's going to take too long, blah, 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 right? When you have your own business, you can make decisions and you can change gears and offer something new, stop doing something you don't want to do, introduce a new service or whatever, like that day,
yeah.
Right? And so for people like you and I mean, Vanessa, I think in a lot of ways, we're kind of cut from the same cloth. We get really excited about things and we want to try new things. We want to offer new things. We want to do whatever. We don't have to wait, right? The only thing that we have to wait for is maybe for our brain to slow down a little bit to like get it in order. But like, we can make those changes. So for anyone who's watching or listening to this, who's feeling stuck in a school or hospital system that has responded to your suggestions for ways to improve things, at some point, you just might want to say like, listen, I'm tired of this. I'm going to go do my own thing. And like, you're probably going to be pretty happy that you did and wonder why you didn't do it sooner.
Yeah. Trust me. When I made the choice to leave, I was like, oh my God, we are Capricorn and we are out here just like, resigning. My husband was like, literally, I texted him and I was like, I am resigning. And he was like, trust it, whatever you say. And I was like, okay. I not that I needed anybody's green light, but of course you have to consult. And just, I really didn't consult with him. I just texted him and told him that was what I was doing, but nevertheless. And so, yeah, I think I was just driven so hard to a point, like the perfect storm, like we talked about before, between my one up passing and the high risk pregnancy and just dealing with COVID. And I'm just a trash bag, going to the unit. You're fine. You got this. Or making recommendations for patients that I knew needed to go out. I knew they needed to go to the hospital or writing letter after letter to nursing managers and everything. And just not just getting so much pushback. You can only get so much pushback for so long before it impacts you as a clinician and the quality of service that you're providing. And when I recognized that within myself, I was like, this is not why I went to school for 6 years. This is not why I'm the first to graduate in my family. This is not like the legacy that I'm trying to make. And that's just my personal experience. I know many people are extremely happy in their settings, but when you can really get caps, that was the other thing, the pay cap. Like as hard as I work and the ideas that I have and the things that I want to do, I'm not comfortable making the same amount over like 10, 20 years. And in my case, I found out there were CFs making more than me and just, oh, can you interpret right now? Hey, tell this person they're unable to eat. Thank you so much. Before you go, I know you're clocked out, but it's totally fine. And it was like all these things that after a while, it was like you just leave and you just feel like it. And that's what pushed me towards probably just a thinking process that at the time seemed crazy, but now it was like an awakening.
Yeah. Well, and like you had already planted some of those seeds that you knew that you wanted to do this, right? But, and unfortunately, you kind of just like got to a little bit of a breaking point that you're like, okay, like, forget this. Like, I can't put myself at risk. I can't put my baby at risk anymore. Like, this is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So what would you tell our listeners? Like, what does your private practice look like these days? If we were to come visit you in terms of either like your location or that kind of thing, but also what kind of clients are you serving?
I am working 4 days a week. I take Fridays off to stay home with my son and go out and do bath and have a 3-day weekend, the weekends I never had growing up. And so Mondays and Wednesdays, I'm usually out and about. So I'll do daycare, some kiddos, and then I go in home for older adults or ALFs. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm in a clinic. I like to stay put. So that's usually virtual sessions with both pediatrics and adults, and then in clinic sessions with both pediatrics and adults. So it's kind of nice that I just have that rotation on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I do a lot of like other things like SLP coaching calls and caregiver consultations. And I dabble in like sick and social. That takes time as well to like plan and prep some of the events. And then the marketing as well, doing custom marketing materials for certain businesses. So it's really nice that I have just that flexibility to be able to see both populations. So right now I've got heavy and Parkinson's, dementia, voice, language, articulation, autism, and dysphagia. So that's pretty much the combo right now. Yeah.
I love that. And what percentage of your sessions are in Spanish versus English?
Ooh, a lot of them are a combo. A lot of them are a combo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Currently, I don't have any completely full things in Spanish other than like when I go on and I do the interviews on the Spanish TV stations, those are fully in Spanish. So those definitely make me sweat a little bit. So other than that, everything else is pretty much bilingual.
Yeah. And is that something that, and I know you live in Florida, a little bit of a higher bilingual, you know, Spanish-speaking population there, but is it still hard for clients to find Spanish-speaking providers? And has that been one of the reasons why you also wanted to have a practice?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, I was bilingual growing up, and I think that's also what contributed to me having trouble in school and understanding things. I actually learned Spanish first and then English. So once I got into the school system, English was the dominant language. So that took me some time to process and adjust. And so I feel like I'm returning the favor to my community. I literally remember a speech therapist sitting down with me and doing a screening with me. Like looking back, I'm like, oh my God, that's what she's doing. Like it's a weird core memory that comes up. And so, yeah, that was a big part of it as well, because I mean, there are, I think like there's one in Clearwater. There's more bilingual providers coming up, which is amazing. And even some have attended SIP and social. So I love that. And I think even like seating, like I don't do seating at all. So it's being able to send that out to someone else that can handle that and specialize in that is huge. But especially I think with Spanish speaking adults, that's a big one I get to where they're like, oh my gosh, thank goodness you speak Spanish. Explain to me this Parkinson's, explain to me this dementia, like what is this all about? Like, and being able to help increase their health literacy with that as well. And for parents too, like understanding that bilingualism is important. Do not stop it. Autism does not cause language loss. Like, and just dispelling a lot of those myths too is pretty cool and pretty rewarding to do.
Yeah. Well, again, you're providing an extremely valuable service that otherwise people might be going without, right? When you're like, I don't know, there's someone in Clearwater, there's someone over here. Like, clearly that's not enough.
No, right? Not at all.
And so when I see people in my programs post about like that one of the reasons why they wanted to start a practice was because they're bilingual, they want to be able to serve their communities. I'm always like so happy to see this like increased presence bilingual providers, because I know how important it is and how people are going without services. This is like the prime reason why I'm doing this, is to help all kinds of people, kids, adults, whatever, get off of wait lists and get like on people's caseload so that they can get the services that they desperately need.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. we can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
Thank you, as always, Vanessa, is being part of this movement, right? The private practice movement. But also, like, you're part of some other really cool movements. Can you tell a little bit about Sip It Social?
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you for doing all the amazing things that you do. Honestly, that was a big piece of it, too, with having Jenna pop up all the time when I would go on social media. And I was like, what's this about? So I appreciate you for your dedication to being so consistent with promoting something that you believe in. And so I think that was a big push, too. And I'll never forget, and I'll talk about Sip It Social in 2 seconds, but I'll never forget when I signed up for the START program you had. Like, you're like, everyone get some champagne. And I was like, I felt like a new person, just the experience and everything and the community like that within weeks I was able to find was like insane to know that I wasn't alone. So I appreciate the compliment, but I wouldn't even be here making the differences that I am if it weren't for you making the difference that you did. So it's like a beautiful domino effect. But yeah, so Sip and Social is a super fun, relaxed networking. We call it Not Your Mama's networking event. We do it very chill. There's no structure to it other than swag bags, giveaways, that kind of thing. And we do different venues within Florida, actually. We're going to have another exciting event coming soon in April. So stay tuned for that. But yep, Sarah with Social Moguls, the amazing. She's like my biz BFF at this point. And I sent her a DM because I realized she was nearby, like pretty close. So once I joined START, I was like, okay, you know what? I like this. I'm reaching out to people. We're meeting up for coffee. Like, who's this Sarah chick? She's got it going on. And then I was going to host a networking event at the office, like coffee and donuts, like kind of chill. But there was like a tropical storm coming in because that's how Florida is. And it was like the night before my husband and I are at Publix. And I'm like, we need to start charcuterie board. I don't know. Let's just throw whatever in the cart. And he's like, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but maybe you want to like reschedule. I don't even know if anyone's coming tomorrow. Like the first gate's coming in. And I'm like, I think you're right. I'll have to do that. But I was like, let's just reschedule. And then Sarah had DM'd me and she's like, hey, oh my gosh, did I miss the event? When was it? And I go, no. I postponed it. I'm going to figure out details soon. I'll let you know. She's like, let me know when you want to come. And I don't know what possessed me to ask her because I don't even know this woman. Said, do you want to co-host this event with me? And she was like, oh my God, yes. And I was like, okay, great. And so we did our first event together at Major and Heights nearby. We had like 20 girls come at the ticketed event. So your ticket covers cocktails, appetizers, and then some really cool giveaways. You have like IV giveaways. We have massage, like so many nice things. And so after that, we were like, okay, we worked well together. We both have the same work ethic. We communicate well. We're honest with one another. And I was like, we should try to make this a thing. Like, this is so cool. And it's, again, it's a very relaxed, chill environment. We're not like, it's not like a speed dating business kind of vibe. It's like, hey, we're all just meeting. Everybody organically talk to whoever you want to and just make the most of it. And so we've had over like 100 plus sales. And I think the other thing too to point out is like Sarah and I put out more money. We don't profit from this. If anything, we've spent more money in it, in decorations and fun things, but it's all an investment in our business because she has the social media company and I have, you know, my private practice. So I've gotten SLP coaching clients from that. I've gotten patients from that for word of mouth. And most importantly, just like good relationships with local private practice owners that you need, like to keep you afloat.
And there's like a really like fun air, like group of people like in the Tampa area.
Yes.
Who have all kinds of different practices. I know that y'all are all kind of referring to each other and supporting each other, which is so nice. Because I liked what you said earlier about like not your mama's networking, right? Because I know that when people like first start thinking about like, oh my gosh, I'm going to own a business. I'm going to be a business person. Like, should I join the Chamber of Commerce? Right. Like that's kind of like the old school way to think about business. Like I need to be networking with other business owners or whatever, right? And sometimes people try that and they go to things and it feels very stuffy. It feels very like pushy. And a lot of like realtors and lawyers and people who like aren't necessarily going to be good referral sources anyway. Right. And so I love that y'all created something that is specifically for like women in healthcare. Like how cool is that?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't find it. I know there's some out there, but everything that I saw was like business women's suits and like conference vibes and hotel rooms and like an agenda. that's totally fine. But this is like a passion project for Sarah and I. This is something that we enjoy doing. And so that was not really the vibe that we wanted to go for. And so, yeah, I mean, I was just like, and it's just specific to women. I'm like, in our dreams and goals that we've had, I want plastic surgeons, I want neurologists, I want doctors. We've had pediatricians, occupational therapists, dietitians, like nurse practitioners, registered nurses, SLP, like just across the board. And how cool that we're all able to offer psychologists, like offer insight to one another. Like, I mean, there's another local organization that I'm a part of, the Hispanic Professional Women's Association. And I was bouncing around the room, but they're super warm. It's obviously Hispanic, so it's super my kind of family vibes. And I would like bounce around the room and try to find anyone that was in the medical field. And there wasn't a whole ton. And they were like, you should join our mentorship program. You would be an excellent mentor. And I was like, please find me someone that's medical. I mean, I'd be happy. And now I have like a mentee who wants to go to school to become a psychologist. And she has a very interesting story and she's very passionate about what she wants to do. And so now I'm able to offer that. And we also need to step outside of like only the speech bubble too, I think is another piece of it. And I think just having the experience with all of the disciplines that we've been able to have the pleasure of posting with Dip and Social, it's so nice to be able to, and chiropractors, and just expand our horizon. And that is just, that's why we said women in healthcare, because we want it to be healthcare in total.
Yeah. And a lot of times the best referrals, like everyone wants word of mouth referrals, right? Everyone's like, how do I get word of mouth, right? Well, in order to get that, you have to kind of earn it, right? Not kind of, you actually have to earn it, right? So you have to put yourself out there. You have to do good work. People have to know about you, right? But you also, like, by engaging in these kind of really fun networking groups, right? That is a great way to get word of mouth. And you're absolutely right. Teaming up with different people from different professions. Most people, I think, know that I live in the Boston area. And one of my personal friends happens to be an OT. She also is in START and also in GROW. Her name's Asha, which is not confusing at all. It's spelled exactly like Asha, but it's Asha. Anyway, Asha is an OT. And as many SLPs know, so many of their kids on their caseload need OT, right? Mm-hmm. So Asha's entire caseload was basically filled by SLP friends in private practice. Because there's so many clients who made an OT, right? And so, like, find whoever your favorite clients, like, there are people in other professions who have that same favorite client as you do. So find those people, and then, like, you can send referrals each other's way. And then, like, then the clients get served. They get really good services. You're able to see clients. You're able to bill for your services. You're able to make money. And everybody does good work together.
It's a win-win, honestly. And I think, like I talked about, I like to always harp on this, is like your mindset too. So people attending SIP and Social, if you got mean girl vibes, you're not welcome. And that's just something we know across the board. Like, and I think it's that collaboration over competition mindset that sometimes I think gets overused, but there is some truth to it. And if you feel like if you're the smartest person in the room, I think you're in the wrong room. And I think that you have to surround yourself by people that have so much more to offer than you do. That way you can learn from them. And don't be fooled. It's reciprocal always. But I think having the mindset of like, you're an SLP, like Jamie and I from Avec Therapy, she's right up the street from me. We both see both populations, but like we literally communicate every day on things or like refer to one another. So we just don't have that competitive bone in our body. And I think if people do, it's normal. Like we are human. We all have an ego. But I think you really need to kind of tweak it to understand why you have that. Like, what is it that you feel like you're lacking? What is it that you feel like you're not confident in or missing, and sharpen that skill set? And then once you do that, you'll probably find that you're less and less competitive because there's plenty to go around. Like clearly, like what we're talking about, there is a plethora to go around. I have successful private practice owners here. Like that have been, when I mean successful, I mean like 7 years plus. And they're like, here you go. This is information. I'm like, thank you so much. Like, and you send them a thank you gift. And they're like, there's plenty to go around. And I'm like, that's the mindset that we need. And I want to be like that in 7 years doing that for someone else, you know?
Totally. Well, because this is part of the new way to be in private practice, right? I think that there's so many like leftover misconceptions that people have about private practice. Like everyone, like think about some of the things that Vanessa said, right? She doesn't work on Fridays, right? So it doesn't have to be like full-time every single day. That you can have clinic space, but you can also go to clients, right? Yeah. So you have that, like that flexibility there. You can offer services to whatever populations you want to, right? You can see kids and adults, or you could just do one or the other, right? What else? Different like payer sources.
Insurance or private pay.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. There's so many decisions that you can make and really serve what serves you, right? And what works for you, for your family, your community,
totally.
Everything else. Have I left out anything else that's like part of the new way that you're doing?
I think not feeling guilty for calling out. Like if my son had a big emergency on New Year's Eve, he had a severe allergic reaction, went into anaphylactic shock, he had to go to the hospital. And when I woke up, like he was, well, even 48 hours after, and I was like, no, I'm texting every single one of my clients and I'm going to tell them I'm still going to monitor him and that we're good. And I mean, just the support you get back from people like, oh my gosh, you could totally understand that stuff. You need anything, like totally fine. It's such a different vibe than when I would call out and I would know that there would be 16 patients waiting for me double time the next day. And so I think that's the new way of learning too, where it's like, we should not feel guilty to have that work-life balance or to prioritize what's truly important versus before when my abuela passed away, I went back to work within 48 hours just to try to cope and just keep going because I was still fearful that I was going to be mistreated or looked at differently or less of a team player. And so I think that's also a new way in general that I think a lot of people are changing with business and across the board.
Yeah. But another one too is about like age and experience,
yes.
Right? That people really used to say like, oh, you have to be like in your 50s or whatever. Like you have to have like decades of experience. You have to be an expert, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you know, what I teach is that people can become experts over time, right? You have amazing clinical skills. If you have been hired anywhere, if you have a license,
right?
You have experience, you have the credentials, right? And you will gain that experience over time. You don't have to wait 50 years plus. Every single person and people in their 50s and 60s have joined the START program. Every single one of them has said, I wish I had done this sooner,
mm-hmm.
Right? And so I'm so excited for like, you know, people in their 20s and 30s to say, you know what? I'm going to do this now. I'm not going to wait for that slow salary ladder.
Mm-mm.
No, thank you. Right? I'm not going to wait to have more money later. I'm not going to wait to have more flexibility later. Like I want those things now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make them happen.
Deservingly so.
Yeah.
Totally. Absolutely. I agree. And I think too, the idea of like experience is like, okay, well, it's very subjective. Like, define experience in what? You could be at a school for 10 years. You could be in acute care for 10 years. Like, what is this experience we all speak of? It's like the cloud. Like we're talking about the cloud. But I think I get it because it's like, okay, we'll feel confident when, or we'll feel financially ready when. And it's like, that is, we all do that all the time in life. But I think this is one of those things that you cannot afford to not do it. Risk versus benefit. It's like, man. And so I agree. It's how I feel now. I'm 32 years old and I'm like, I can't wait to see where I'm at in 10 years and to see how much you just not even monetarily, but freedom wise, like the F's that you talk about and just being able to go on vacation and not have to worry. Like, okay, you don't have PTO. Well, not to worry because you have multiple streams of income. So even when you're out, you're getting orders on things or people are booking you for things. So it's a whole different mindset, but I agree. I think the idea of experience, like, what does that even mean? I think it's more intrinsic.
Yeah. Well, because at some point you just have to decide that you're ready. One of the drawbacks of the professions of speech and occupational therapy is that you're constantly being judged by other people saying that you're ready for things, right? Mm-hmm. Like whether it's comps, whether it's like your clinical fellowship, whether it's all these other things, everyone is like making decisions. Someone else is saying that you're ready. For private practice, you have to be the one to say that you're ready, right? You have to decide, do I have skills that are valuable to other people or not?
Right.
Right. If you have skills that are valuable, let them be valued,
mm-hmm.
Right? Go out there. There are clients who need you, desperately need you.
Yeah.
Go see them and don't be afraid to charge what you're worth, right? Like, don't be afraid to charge private pay rates. Don't be afraid to take different insurances. Whatever you want to do financially, realize that you are a very competent person and you have a professional degree and license and you're worth it. So yeah. Let yourself be valued.
100%. And there is a solution to everything. Like, honestly, even with insurance or anything like that, it's like, okay, Medicare, how do I tackle that? Okay, well, there's a course for that. Katie Brown, absolutely amazing. Medicare for SLPs, they still refer to it daily. You invest in certain things and there's always an answer. So even if you have resistance towards something, it's like, okay, but find potential 2 to 3 solutions for it and I'm free and buy it. You may not be like super excited about them because it's going to put you outside of your comfort zone, but there's a solution. And then that end result is like everything you could have imagined and more. So yeah, I mean, my first client was a Medicare client and a speak out client. And so I had to invest in a speak out certification and Medicare credentialing. Had I not done that, I probably wouldn't have gotten that client. And so it's all those small pieces. Those are like the aha moments where you're like, oh, this is what Jenna's talking about. But I agree 100%.
Yeah. Well, because you have to, right? Just like you invested in your clinical education, now that you're going to be a business owner, it's time to invest in your business education.
Yeah.
And realize that just like when you, you know, take CEU classes and everything else, you're gaining knowledge and skills that you'll use for the rest of your career, right? That's how it works. Well, that's the same thing for business classes, right? You're getting knowledge, you're gaining skills. And yes, you will use that knowledge like in the short term, but it's going to pay for itself for years, maybe even decades to come, mm-hmm. right? So anyway, so I could get on a whole soapbox about that. But I wanted to ask you one more question. When we were coming up with like the title for your episode, we talked about like pivots and profits. And one of the things that I've also noticed is that I think people are getting a little bit more comfortable with the idea of earning money in our profession, right? That used to be something that there was a lot of like guilt and shame and everything else. And therapists shouldn't desire to earn money or something like that. But I think that we're trying to change the stigma of like it being a bad thing to want to earn money. How do you kind of think about that? And how do you think today's clinician is thinking about it?
That's a great question. I feel like the idea or weird thought process that people or the disconnects that people have surrounding money is really multifaceted. I think it's something on a structural corporate healthcare level that kind of instills that can't get a raise yet, which things are tight, this, that, and the other, like, or from a generational level, like my parents, see my dad 7 days a week, like double jobs, just for us to be able to go on vacation. Then you have to recoup from that after. So like everything is like a huge sacrifice and output before you get that reward. Can't get the reward without all of that. And so sure, still today, when you want a business, there's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of outward work that you have to put out. But it's, again, a mindset shift. And I think that has to do with like generational just practices, corporate healthcare on that level too. And you just have to decide, like, is this it? Like, and I think it goes back to what you talk about. Ask yourself what you've invested in. Ask yourself how you want to see your life with or without children. How do you want your life to be structured? Do you want to be able to have the freedom and the flexibility to do these things? And I just always think to myself, I'm a master's level clinician. I should be compensated appropriately. And the field that we are in, it's not a random degree that maybe can only be utilized in like one location. It is a degree that improves people's quality of life from a swallowing level, communication level, language, like every regard possible. It is a huge vital piece of life. And so you should look at it that way. And I think when you look at it that way, you'd be more likely to feel that you should be compensated accordingly. Because if the tables were turned and you had to do that for your loved one and that was the only option, you would absolutely do it without a heartbeat. It's a societal thing that we need to change. And I love the fact that we're evolving in that direction and that people are more open to talking about those things. I think there's a lot of roadblocks that people have. It's a mindset roadblock of, I shouldn't ask for too much, or I'm just going to be lenient on my cancellation policies or this, that, and the other. But we have to think of like the domino effect, like I talked about earlier, and that could be good effects. That could be negative effects. So how you want to structure your life for yourself and for your family and for future generations, the goal each generation, at least for myself, is for it to get better and better. And for me, I think that my biggest motivating piece was I don't want to have to sacrifice what my parents had to sacrifice from a health standpoint, quality of life standpoint, changing their lives, like just so many different things that they had to go through. And I used that as my fuel to be like, we're not doing that again because they did it. And I can't take it in vain. And it's like what you said, Stephanie, it's not even about you. It's about the clients that are treating and the impact and the change that you're making. And so for me, it's a personal thing. Yes, the corporate healthcare has influenced me in many ways, but I think truly it's my personal experiences with my family and my grandparents coming from another country and me being the first graduate in my family. And just, I'm like, we didn't do all of these things for somebody else to tell me where I need to settle and where I need to be at. And if I continue that thought process into my private practice, I'm doing exactly what they want me to do, sell myself short and go back for something more secure and more consistent. You can get the security, you can get the consistency, but you just have to be creative and open-minded to that.
Totally. And I think that, you know, another thing that people tend to think is that like, maybe it's greedy to want to desire money, but my take on that is actually the opposite, is that it's financially responsible, right? Mm-hmm. Like, especially in these like kind of weird economic times, if you need to earn more for yourself and your family, it is financially responsible to find ways to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And having a private practice is a great way to do it because you already have the clinical knowledge and skills, right? You already have all of that, right? All you need are some business skills to make sure that you're doing everything correctly and you're charging appropriately and all those kind of other things, yeah. Right? But like, these are the shifts that you can make, right? You can do like the slow salary ladder, as I like to call it, or you can do a fast track to being able to have all of this now versus waiting for 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, part of it is you don't really feel it until you actually do it. So it's like now for 2.5 hours worth of treatment time, I make what I made a day and a half after taxes, working in a skilled nursing facility, busting my behind. That is like, and there is a weirdness where it's like I'm really okay. Like, and the next thing I will be doing is raising my rates. I want to do that. And that's something that Grow is encouraging us to do too. So it's like knowing your worth at the same token. But once you realize you can work smarter, not work harder, and potentially work less and make more, it's not a gimmick. We are doing it. And I think the biggest thing too that was wild to me from the start was just like, I got the LLC because I knew I wanted my business, and I heard of this private practice. USF had someone come and talk about it, but it's not advertised enough. You hear of eye doctors, you hear of psychologists, you hear of doctor's offices, dentist's office, but I've never heard of like, oh yeah, that's speech therapist private practice. And so I know that's your goal, and I want it to be all of our goals, that in the future we are looked at as just so our own individual standalone practice. I mean, hospitals are one thing, but why go do something else than outpatient when you can do your own thing?
Well, right, because there are so many limitations on what we can do in schools and hospitals and early intervention and pretty much every setting, that we need more of us to go into private practice because there frankly are not enough providers who can offer things flexibly, right? Whether it's flexible days, flexible hours, different kinds of therapy options and that kind of stuff. Like, people need this. And like, psychologists have a path to private practice, and they also have a whole bunch of role models in real life, but also in TV and the movies, right?
Yeah.
You can hardly watch a show or a movie that doesn't involve a psychologist. They all have private practices, right? Mm-hmm. So people who are like in the field of mental health professions, they've seen it. They know it exists, right?
Yeah. And they're ahead of us in that regard. Yeah.
Totally. So one of the main reasons why I do this work, but also like why I have a podcast, why we're doing the show, right? I want more people to see what private practitioners look like, right? And what they're doing and how they're operating, so that you can say like, okay, if she can do it, I can do it too.
100%.
So we kind of start to wrap up here. What would you say are your goals for the next, let's say, 6 months?
Definitely higher. Should have done that already. Definitely higher. But since I have a combination of both adults and teens, and since I love all my clients, and since we're reaching a point that I am getting pretty full, I'll probably be hiring a virtual assistant first, but probably shortly after a contractor, like a 1099 contractor. I do have some meetings lined up for different charter schools. So fingers crossed to get some contracting opportunities. But I'm just a very secure person too. And I want to emphasize that to everybody watching, is you can still be a risk taker by opening your own business, but you can also still do it at the pace that you're comfortable with. So I know people that have been in private practice for a year, they're killing it. They have 5 contractors and they're doing wonderful. And that's wonderful for them. But I too am killing it, and it's just me. And I've made it that way intentionally because that's the season in life that I'm in. I have a 2.5-year-old, all of this, but as we plan to grow and as we plan to change, now is when I can say, okay, as long as I grow slowly and at the pace that I want, and quality over quantity will always be my motto, then I will be happy. So it would be cool to have a small team within the next 6 months, have some contracting opportunities. And I mean, we're already doing too great with the marketing and customizing a few different really amazing selfies within the community. So I'm sure that will grow as well. And just being able to show people that you can market in an aesthetic way and easy. And so that is one less excuse for you to say that you can't do it. But yeah, I think those are my biggest takeaways in the next 6 months.
I love that. And like, you haven't been in private practice for all that long, right? About what, a year and a half?
January 11th was when I opened last year. So you're looking at what, 13 months? Yeah. I mean, honestly, it was years before that I slowly worked on it. But yeah, I mean, it really is not that long.
So for anyone watching this who's like, oh my gosh, like, she's probably been at this for a long time. Like, Vanessa has her eyes on the prize, you guys. Vanessa is a focused person. You get a goal and you make it happen, right? And I think we can all be like that. Like, just decide, what do you want? Do you want to work X number of days a week? How much money do you need to make? What kind of clients do you want to see, right? It's all about making that plan and then making it happen. There are so many people who want to do this private practice thing, but have no idea how to do it. They have some dreams, but then they, you know, start looking in Facebook groups or Googling things. They get overwhelmed. Like, I would love to help you do this, just like I've helped Vanessa do this, right? If you have been watching this or if you're listening and you're like, Jenna, this sounds great. How do I do it? Send me a DM. Let's connect. I would love to help you get set up and started. But Vanessa, thank you for being on the show. Thank you so much for sharing your private practice journey again from the beginning, but also some of the really, really cool things that you're up to now. Where can people learn more about you?
Thank you. Thank you. You can find me on Instagram at Theravolve Wallace. And then you can find me on Facebook as well under the same name, or you can go to my website, hairevolvewellness.com. But yeah, I mean, we don't want to talk about how long I waited, Jenna, before I signed up for your course. And then when I finally did, I was like, are you kidding me? Everything I've been searching for the last 6 months is literally in modules for me. Yeah, I waited a little longer than I wanted to. But that's because I'm just such an analytical thinker, but I've learned to, in due time, you don't need to be that deep into things. Not the things that are an investment and worth your time. So if that's the only thing that I regret, it's not taking your course sooner. I wanted to, I hesitated, I waited, I made excuses. And then when I finally joined and did everything, I was like, wow, everything I needed was right here in front of me. But that's okay. Timing works the way that it should. I would tell anyone over and over again, a million times over, to take this course. This is going to give you exactly where you need to go quickly.
Quickly. Yes. In weeks versus like months or years, you can get set up and started.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So again, Vanessa, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for being an amazing person. Thank you for just being a force of nature and supporting your clients, supporting your fellow clinicians, and just being fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you for inspiring me to be this way. I wouldn't be this way without you. So I appreciate you very much.
Awesome. Okay. Don't you just love Vanessa? I love how she followed her passion in a non-traditional way. She is a perfect example of someone who reduced her burnout and found freedom and flexibility through private practice and has created her ideal career and life for herself by being her own boss. If you would like to learn more about our programs and how we can work with you, just like we worked with Vanessa, to start and/or grow your private practice, please visit privatepracticeschool.com. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.